What's trending?
Number one on what's trending is the trade deadline, right? We've got the trade deadline at 5 o'clock our time. Keep an eye on that. Royals maybe can make a move or two today. You and I both think that that should be for a veteran starting pitcher, and also looking at the reliever market. Should they move on from one of the relievers, because the return has been unbelievable across baseball? The biggest trade of the day involves Mason Miller, the A's closer, getting shipped out to San Diego. The Padres sending the number three prospect in all of baseball. An 18-year-old shortstop goes over to the A's. Also, J.P. Sears goes over to San Diego. There's a lot of rumors out there. We're going to talk more about them. But one of them is that the belief is now the Padres are going to turn around and trade their current closer, Suarez, and maybe Dylan Cease to either the Guardians for Stephen Kwan, or to the Red Sox for Jaron Duran. That's the hottest rumor kind of going on right now.
We'll talk more trade deadline and what the Royals should or can be doing coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Next up on What's Trending, the Royals get their series win against the Braves, winning that game 1-0 in 10 innings. Royals set a major league record using 9 pitchers in a 10-inning shutout to secure the win, a truly unique win by the Royals yesterday. They're off today, head out to Toronto starting tomorrow. The Royals did announce they will not get on their team flight until after the Major League Baseball trade deadline has passed. On the thought that if they trade somebody and they don't want to make them get on an international flight, or trade for someone and need to get them on an international flight, they'll be able to do so. So the Royals will start a series against the AL-leading Toronto Blue Jays tomorrow.
News from Jordan Schultz. Veteran running back Latavius Murray retiring from the NFL. Former 6th-round pick. 8,000 yards in his career, 61 touchdowns. A name we haven't heard in a while. I feel like most people may have thought he was already kind of out of the league, but now he is officially retiring.
Just one of those perfectly fine careers. Made a little bit of money.
Yeah, how much do you think he made?
I don't know. $20 million? I don't think it's like a lot. I don't think he ever got paid like a big check, but he made a lot of checks across
JT,
the board.
JT, what's your guess? I'm pulling it up right now. What's your guess? You're saying $20 million, Cody? That's
20 million.
Your guess?
$26 million.
You're going $26 million. So he's 35. He played for 10 years. I mentioned he was a 6th-round pick, so he didn't have the big rookie contract. Career earnings for Latavius Murray, 22.1.
Pretty close.
22.1 mil. Not a bad career at all.
No, not bad at all. Next up on What's Trending, former first-round pick, or at least that's the way Adam Schefter put it, Noah Fant, expected to sign with the Cincinnati Bengals. That according to Adam Schefter and others. Obviously, Seattle just let him go, maybe thinking they liked the young tight end they drafted last year, I think in the second or third round. Noah Fant going to be a Cincinnati Bengal. Pair him up with Mike Gesicki.
Next on What's Trending, Hall of Fame tight end turned broadcaster Shannon Sharp not returning to ESPN. That according to the Associated Press. This comes less than 2 weeks after Sharp resolved a pending lawsuit at the time that accused him of sexually assaulting a woman during their relationship. The source spoke to the AP on, of course, a condition of anonymity because the decision has not been announced, but ESPN is expected to do that. I think Shannon Sharp also addressed it yesterday on a podcast. I don't know if it was his as well, said he's at peace with the decision.
Yeah, I mean, I think you got to know when those accusations come up that you're probably in trouble with your big-time employer. Next up on What's Trending, another trade in Major League Baseball just took place. The Philadelphia Phillies are finalizing a trade to acquire outfielder Harrison Bader from the Minnesota Twins, okay, according to ESPN and Jeff Passan. Bader, currently a 2.8 WAR player this year for the Twins, hitting .258, .339 on base, and a .778 slug. So the guy with 12 homers and 38 RBI heading to the National League and won't take on the Royals later this year. Again, the weakening of some of the teams in the AL is good for Kansas City.
Lastly on What's Trending, don't forget our Fan Football Takeover Day at Hollywood Casinos coming up next Friday. That is August the 8th. We'll be out there. The Drive will be broadcasting live as well from the sportsbook. We'll be registering fans to win a signed Charles Domenihue football plus a pair of Chiefs Colts tickets. You want to follow Hollywood Casino on Facebook, Instagram, and X. Enter their giveaway, which will be up on August the 7th, for a chance to win $100 in pin cash when we're there on the 8th every hour from 10 to 6. That is What's Trending.
Very busy day so far in the trade deadline. So worth mentioning that the Royals have not been a part of that busyness so far.
Yeah, a couple days ago, real quick before we get into the trade conversation with the Royals and everything, a couple days ago was National Wing Day, so this was the perfect week to go over to Jefferson's as well. Jefferson's our lunch sponsor here on Cody and Gold. They have a brand new happy hour we've been telling you about. It's going to save you some money first and foremost, but also 7 days a week you can enjoy half off appetizers, Jefferson's Lenexa, Jefferson's North KC, plus half off your bar tab. Not to mention, Monday is all-day happy hour. They have those same great deals during the reverse happy hour, which is 7 days a week. So make sure you check out Jefferson's in North KC or in Lenexa. Jefferson's, wings, burgers, oysters.
May I suggest the mango habanero ones, perhaps?
That works. A little honey barbecue.
Lemon pepper, honey barbecue. Was National Wings Day. It's been a little while since I've been to Jefferson's now. Maybe a couple, not a long time, like a few weeks, but feels like a good time to be going back. If you're thinking about it, yeah, head over to Jefferson's Wings, Burgers, Oysters. Trade deadline's been quiet for the Royals, and I've determined really two things. They are stuck in a very awkward position, admittedly. The second they brought back Seth Lugo and brought in Randall Grichuk, they had essentially said, we're not selling. They had announced to the world, we're not true sellers. And yet, I'm here to tell you, and when they said that, I was like, okay, well, if you're doing that, well, then get better. Get a fifth starter. Try to, like, you don't have to overbuy or buy rentals. You can either look at long-term options in the trade or stand pat and hope you just play better like you're playing better now and ride out to see if your team gets good enough to make the postseason, but if not, you're in good position for 2026. But now that I have seen the reliever market in Major League Baseball right now, I honestly think it might be foolish to not trade at least one of your relievers. The asking price that is being paid for some of these relievers, including Mason Miller and others, has been high. And the Royals have, I think, a very deep bullpen. Currently, 10th best ERA in baseball out of the bullpen, 3rd best ERA or 2nd best ERA in all of baseball between starters and bullpen. And if selling a bullpen guy, even if it's for a minor leaguer, allows you to either buy the thing you want to buy in the offseason, buy the thing you want to buy this year, you're more willing to let go of a guy, like any of the, you know, the prospects you have in order to trade for a controllable outfielder or a fifth starter on a rental, I think you kind of have to entertain, really do have to entertain reliever trades right now if you're the Royals.
The market's too good. It's too good at this point. I know Ken Rosenthal has reported that the Rangers are targeting Hunter Harvey, and if you told me that that's who they play, they trade, I don't know what they're necessarily getting in return. Maybe better than we think, but it's also a player that's barely been available for you anyway. So I think that's one where, at least from a fan base perspective, that's an easier pill to swallow than if I told you they traded Carlos Estevez, who was an all-star, who's at times led baseball in saves this year, who clearly seems to be a guy in the clubhouse that everybody likes as well. He's been around for a bit. He has another year of control. Because of that, though, he could bring back a lot, to your point. And I think if you believe that the outfield has to be addressed via trade in the offseason, and I think that's the only way to do it, by the way,
yeah,
I think you agree, then you have to be willing to part way with prospects. Okay, they got a couple in the system, but if you want to add another prospect or two, okay, could Carlos bring that back? But that's the balance in the tough spot you're saying, which is, yeah, but that doesn't help you in 25. And I know there's a ton of people listening, and I get it, are like, hey, don't worry about 25, just worry about 26. I think the organization is clearly still worried about 25 because of their standing and the clubhouse and their moves that they have made at this point in time. So Hunter Harvey, sure, I have no issue if you move on from him. If you move on from Carlos, that means Erceg becomes the closer. You can't trade Harvey. Cruz is there. Like, they have the bodies where I think they would be okay. But what about 2026, though? You know, you could also just trade for one next year at the deadline if you're in a spot that's much better.
Develop one.
Now, you also know, for those looking at the Padres trade, nobody's saying that Carlos Estevez is bringing back the exact same haul that the A's just got for Mason Miller. Okay, Mason Miller's 26 years old. That's a little bit different, has more control. Because the Padres gave up the number 3 prospect in all of baseball, not just their system. That's not the return you're getting, but we've seen the return that the Cardinals got for their closer to the Mets, I think it was, last night. We've seen some other relievers just in general get moved. So I think there's a trade or two that can happen today. Either the Royals go out and give up something to get a fifth starter, a veteran fifth starter, or you go and you use a Hunter Harvey to go and find that fifth starter for this year. You know, if you don't believe you go the prospect route, like, would you rather have a random A-ball 19-year-old that's not even a ranked prospect? Or if I told you, you could give up Hunter Harvey who has no control left for your fifth starter this year and you're good. And that keeps you in it for 25.
Cardinals got the Mets number 8 and 14 prospect for a closer that's doing similar to Estevez, a 3 earned run average and 21 saves. But again, a pretty good haul for a rental reliever, a guy you don't have control. Now, Estevez should be worth more. He actually has another year of control after this year, not just one, and has been as effective, if not more effective, than Helsley. What about on the flip side? Just, I've seen all the asking prices. Reportedly, the Cleveland Guardians are shopping Stephen Kwan. They had also reportedly requested DeVries, the prospect who just went in the Mason Miller trade, is maybe a part of that. The number three overall prospect in baseball. If you could get Stephen Kwan today for Blake Mitchell, would you do it? He's the number 27 prospect in all of baseball, by the way. Just if you're curious, if there's a comp, let's say their asking price was too high for Stephen Kwan because he's got 2 years of control after this one, and this asking price is more in line of what the return should be. Would you trade for a guy like Stephen Kwan for a guy like Blake Mitchell?
I would want to know. I would want to know if do I think I can get an extension done with Stephen Kwan? Because I don't know if 2 years of Kwan is good enough for me to give up my number one, number three prospect.
I mean, if you get a deal, then he could be your leadoff hitter for 5 years.
No, that's what I'm saying. So I also don't think you could just trade Blake Mitchell solely for Stephen Kwan. I don't think that's a trade that gets it done.
You don't think that's enough to get him out of Cleveland, especially in an in-division
trade as well? No. In just playing the hypothetical, so I don't think it's realistic, but playing the hypothetical game, you would have to tell me that the Royals were also going to get an extension done with Stephen Kwan and solve the leadoff problem for 5 years.
I mean, they have 2 years to do it, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that would make you think that it's not like out of the question. It's probably not getting done this year. But like what you're saying is like JJ feels like
there's a
pretty
good chance.
But I
have no problem trading any of the catching prospects. I mean, you have Salvador Perez for another year. I think they're going to pick up his option next year. So you have Salvador Perez next year. You have Carter Jensen, who's tearing it up in AAA. You have Blake Mitchell. Like, all those guys are not playing at the same time. Like, somebody's getting Carter Jensen or Blake Mitchell, whether it's now, whether it's next offseason or something, one of them is going to have to get moved to solve the outfield problem, I think.
I just think it doesn't make sense to have a system in which you have two potential star catchers. Just choose the one you think is better. Like, just straight up. Choose the one you think is the better prospect who's going to help the team more and trade the other one. Teams love catching. Love it. Value it all the time. Value it highly all the time, especially hitting catchers, of which the Royals possess two. And so, like, if that could get you a guy like Stephen Kwan, I would do it instantaneously. Instantaneously, I'd make a deal like that.
Coming up in 20 minutes, we're going to be joined by Josh Vernier, Royals insider. We'll ask him about the trade deadline, how he thinks the Royals should approach it coming up.
Training camp.
I am, man. We're back in training camp mode tomorrow. We'll be up there in St. Joe. But no, someone was saying, do we think yesterday's game was a showcase to trade a pitcher? No, that was a bullpen game, right? Like, and they were great. The bullpen was awesome. 9 different pitchers needed for the shutout win against Atlanta. It was awesome. But no, that wasn't a showcase. It was a bullpen game, and they needed every bit of what they got from the bullpen to win that game. So yeah, I don't think it was necessarily that. Yesterday's game doesn't change, I don't think, the value of any of those guys necessarily.
Like, Steven Cruz isn't worth more just because he was good in a game. And Sam Long, who I thought definitely was getting ready to blow that game in the 10th. Well, you know, like, two on, nobody out, you get worried, and then back-to-back strikeouts, he came through in a big way. Not just because it was Sam Long, I just thought, this isn't going to go well. After a game in which the Royals did not have a runner in scoring position. I'll be honest. In order to make the playoffs, they're going to have to win a couple of games like that. Luck, right? That was a game in which, really, truthfully, based on paper, you have almost no business winning. You put no one in scoring position for 10 innings. You are in a bullpen game in which you have no starter because you just cut Rich Hill. You're not supposed to win that baseball game, even against a team struggling like the Atlanta Braves, but you won it. And I'm not taking that away from you. Kudos for winning it. Hell of a job by the bullpen. I did like the people who were like, for anybody who's saying Q can't manage a bullpen, how do you feel about yesterday's game?
That's the beautiful thing about being a manager. You don't get any sometimes you don't get any credit. You get blamed all the time. That's just the nature of the job.
But this is the toughest part. So from the 913, one more thing on the trade deadline, then we'll talk a little all 32. You've got teams with a similar record selling follow suit. I've thought a lot about this. You've got teams from a similar record selling. There is a huge difference between the Royals and some of those teams. And I looked at some of their rosters, not to just like say it flippantly, because I genuinely think the Royals are in a different position than some of those teams. You're like, but why? They have the same record. Their young core is so under control right now. Selling fundamentally doesn't really make that much sense. Next year, you already know who your starting right fielder is in Cags. First, short, second, DH, catcher. You know 4 of your 5 starting pitchers. You know 85% of your bullpen. Let's just say you're thinking Kyle Isbell's a starter. Then you know your center fielder too. You know what your roster is, adding makes more sense for a team. And so many are cost controlled. Bobby's not cost controlled anymore because he got the big extension. But so many are cost controlled young players under contract for the next 3 or 4 years. Mikel and Vinny, Urseg, and so many others. It doesn't, I actually don't think it makes a lot of sense to follow suit like some of these other teams who have aging rosters with aging players who aren't going to be there long or are expensive.
Yeah, but there's also a difference between like what, you know, the Guardians might be trading, have already traded, but trading multiple pieces. I think we're just discussing because of the reliever market.
Oh, yeah,
maybe would you be willing to move a reliever you weren't willing to move before you saw what the market has turned out to be? And that's the conversation.
Than, like,
whether it's Carlos or Cruz or any of these, that is the question. It's not because they already signed Lugo to extension. It's not. They're not in sell mode where they're trading three or four players like a Lugo and then going ahead and trading Carlos and also trading, you know, Mikel Garcia or something like that. Like that's obviously not that. That is selling. If they make a trade or two today, it's going to either be going out and getting a fifth starter or what you're discussing as well, which is trading away a pretty good bullpen arm to try to get a prospect that helps you fix the outfield problem or a reliever that helps you bring back another veteran outfielder for this year too. I wouldn't be as interested in that from a giving up like Carlos for a veteran outfielder. It would have to be for someone, a prospect that could help me get that outfielder in the offseason, or you know, you trade a lower end reliever, a Harvey or Cruz that helps me get my fifth starter for the rest of the season.
I'll say I saw JT currently producing for us because Drew's out of town and other people point out, it does make the price they paid for Urseg last year look so much better.
True.
Oh, good job getting a year ahead of it, boys, because the price for Urseg this year would not have been the same. It'd have been triple the asking price of what the Royals played for a cost-controllable, you know, bullpen arm versus this year. So,
yeah. Someone else said, compare the Royals to the Tigers last year. They sold and here now. We're all guilty of this in sports, I think, all the time. Because it happened one time does not mean like that. Like, well, the Tigers sold everything and then they still made the playoffs and now look where they're at. So clearly the Royals should just do the exact same thing. Like, yeah, I would, if you can guarantee me that result, that's not the norm though. Like that, the reason why we all know about the story of the, because it's not normal. It doesn't happen very often. Like that, it's the same thing. Like how come you just didn't draft Tom Brady in the seventh round or Brock Purdy in the seventh round? Because normally the Brock Purdy,
it's a bad spot to find
Mr. Irrelevant, usually that's not a guy that gets an extension 5 years later as a starting quarterback in the NFL. Like we could all find outliers. I understand the point. You're not the first text to bring up the Tigers, but acting like what they did last year is like some path that every team should follow now as if it happens all the time, I think is a little misleading. That's all.
Yeah. I just don't think that's the path of like the less common is not usually the best. And I'd have to go back through and see who the Tigers traded. They might've just traded people who were on,
well, I know Jack Flaherty was one of them, and the big thing about that was
he came back and signed.
And he came back and signed. So people are like, "Well, what if you just trade Seth Lugo and then you sign him when he options out?"
We discussed that.
That was the time that ship has sailed. But yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
At one point
people
in time, for sure.
That, yeah.
Yeah, at one point that was definitely part of the equation.
We'll
talk more about this with Vern coming up in 12 minutes. Our Royals insider. But let's get to a little All 32. We'll get a little. Ah, it's been a bit since we heard that music.
There's football tonight. It feels right to do an All 32 on a day in which football will be played.
Hall of Fame game tonight. Chargers taking on the Dallas Cowboys, right?
Yeah, I think that's correct.
Trey Lance against Joe Milton.
When's the last time the Chiefs were in a Hall of Fame game?
Well, they haven't had a Hall of Fame inductee in a little bit.
Fair point.
5 or 6 years from now, when Travis Kelsey's getting inducted. They'll have
Time on it? I don't remember what the
is
wait time
five?
Is
it 5?
It's 5 years.
He'll be a first ballot Hall of Famer. So, yeah, in 5 years, we'll go to Canton. We'll do our show there.
So, are we saying in 2008, the Patriots will be there then? 2028, I mean, because
yes,
Tom Brady?
Absolutely. Yeah. Totally.
The year Tom Brady's getting in, for sure, for sure.
All 32, I want to go to Miami for a second. Tua was talking to the media, and I think he means well by this comment. Like, he's trying to be a team player and all this. He was talking about getting preseason reps. And he said, I definitely love to get some preseason snaps in. Gotta get things tuned in with the guys again. I don't think I'm better than anyone on this team or think I'm too cool to get reps in during preseason games.
No one's making that argument,
again,
man.
I love the sentiment, right, which is, hey, I'm a team player. These guys are playing. I need to play too. No, you don't. No, you don't. Nobody's questioning whether or not you're a team guy. Given your injury history to it, you're like the quarterback in the league in particular who should never play in the preseason. Never.
He might be. If you ranked the players who least should play.
Or Chargers, Lions. Did I say Cowboys?
Anybody who
Chargers,
plays,
Lions.
Anybody who plays for the Chargers, because they're just most likely to be injured in the league. And then Tua. Like, Tua, no thanks, man. You don't get to play in preseason games because can't risk you getting hurt most of the time. I understand the sentiment, like you said, where he said, I'm not too cool, but that's not the argument anyone's making. Is there somebody out here being like, Tua thinks he's too good for the preseason?
Yeah.
What were you saying?
Hall of Fame game? Is it not Chargers-Cowboys that I said?
Why did I think that was?
I thought it was Chargers-Cowboys.
Chargers-Lions.
Oh, maybe Chargers-Lions. Oh, it is Lions. I thought it was Cowboys, too.
So did I. Why did I? Same color scheme? Why did we think it was the Lions? It's Lions-Chargers. Anyway.
Maybe we thought it was the Cowboys because of Trey Lance. I don't know.
We'll talk about it here in a minute. But yeah, Chargers-Lions, apparently.
Uh-huh.
And I guess it's probably the Trey Lance thing was throwing us off. Trey Lance starting for the Chargers was a Cowboy last year.
That might be it.
And then we were probably probably what it was. For my All-32, I want to talk about what the Ravens are doing to increase their conditioning. Gold, I've been, occasionally I'll go to the gym and I'll do swimming as an exercise. Low impact, doesn't hurt the knees or the super bone, right? Feels good, but it's exhausting. So the Ravens built a pool, thinking let's get our guys in shape, we'll get a pool. Some of them don't know how to swim. Do you know they're going to bring in to teach them to swim?
Well, and the guy from Baltimore. Fashion,
Michael Phelps is going to teach the Baltimore Ravens players how to swim in an aerobic fashion. Honestly, this feels like one of the greatest small edge plays of all time. Does it end up making a huge difference for him? Probably not. But it is a great aerobic exercise, and it's good for the lungs. And I can't imagine a better teacher on the planet than Michael Phelps.
Yeah, he's from Baltimore. He's a Ravens fan, so it makes sense. Yeah, it's a cool story.
That's it? You don't think it actually helps him win?
No. It's a cool story.
Just one story? No, I don't think it helps him win.
I think if
games.
I were a player, I'd think it was pretty cool. Michael Phelps, one of the most decorated American Olympian of all time.
No, I think the team thinks it's cool. Does it, Matt? Does it mean Lamar Jackson's going to play better football in January? No.
Why not? Why can't it? Maybe he's just, you know.
He seems
Anthony
perfectly.
Anthony Richardson should get on that so he doesn't get so tired.
Yeah, that's true.
For my All-32, I...
Wait, hold on, JT, real quick. Before you get to All-32, since all week people were testing you, I need to ask you two things to see if you know. Do you know who Jonathan Taylor Thomas is? JTT. Do you know who that is?
No.
Okay, great. That's all that. Second, were you even old enough to watch Michael Phelps?
Yeah, I know who Michael Phelps is, and I watched him. Yes,
just I had to make sure.
Okay,
before we just brushed
past
him.
My funniest thing about that, obviously he was so dominant, but remember the story at the time. Just fast forward to now, and it seems so dumb, and it was probably dumb at the time too. Remember, like he got caught smoking weed, and he had to go on national television like apologize to fans or something.
Yeah.
That was a real thing.
Yeah, it was for smoking weed. Whatever. Yours, JT?
So I'm not going to go as crazy as Bink did the other night on Twitter about interceptions, but I think we overlook, or I should say overvalue, interceptions in training camp and preseason. I want to see quarterbacks throw interceptions. I want to see them take chances and learn from their mistakes. I don't care if you don't throw an interception. Like, yes, the other day, Bo Nix, he hasn't thrown an interception all training camp. Okay, cool. I want to see you try to do something that you normally wouldn't do and see if it works. And I think we take, he didn't throw an interception way too high in training camp.
You know, I got to be honest. Training camp interceptions might be the least important. We were talking about All-22 guy earlier. If you're counting training camp interceptions, if you think for some reason Jackson Dart is not going to be good in the NFL because his first pick in training camp was a pick six and because Bo Nix made it an entire practice without throwing a pick, I don't even know how to help you. Yeah. It doesn't mean they're good or bad. It means nothing. Normally, I would say interceptions can be a good thing in training camp because you are testing what throws you can and can't make. If anything, it can only be a positive, in my opinion. Throwing training camp interceptions can only teach you the lesson of the throw you're able to make. If you don't throw any, I don't think that's a negative. Like, it's not a negative that Bo Nix didn't throw any necessarily, but like, saying that somebody threw one or doesn't throw one, what the hell do I care? Who's like, counting these?
I would rather you throw 10 in the training camp preseason and throw 2 in the regular season than throw 0 in training camp and preseason and throw 10 in the regular season. Like, I don't care about your training camp stats, guys.
Yeah, keeping training camp stats, period.
It was
foolish.
Everybody, I'm sure, remembers now. It was a massive ESPN front page story that Patrick Mahomes was throwing too many training camp interceptions before he started in his first year.
Yeah, clearly and impacted exactly, things.
It really held him back that year when he threw 50 touchdowns and 5,000 yards.
That is All-32, of course. When we're back up in St. Joe tomorrow, our training camp coverage brought to you by Break Time, Missouri's homegrown convenience stores. Download their mobile app and find a location near you. Up next, we'll get to the random question of the day, and we'll be joined by Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, to get his perspective on the upcoming trade deadline today.
gorgeous weekend ahead. Nice outside today after it's been oppressively hot in Kansas City. And you're like, I want to sit outside on my dream deck. You don't have it yet? All-Weather Decks will take care of that for you. The right deck at the right price. You could build a screen porch like I've got on the back. It's so nice when it comes to the bugs or the mosquitoes. You're trying to keep them away. All-Weather Decks just wants the project to be your dream build. You can see a picture of their projects over at allweatherdecks.net. Map of the over 2,000 jobs they've done in the Kansas City area, locally owned and operated, and will give you a free estimate on the work you're looking to do. Again, they say, let us build your dream deck. From patios to pergolas to covered decks, woods and composite, any outdoor project they can handle. And they're a 24-time winner of Angie's List Super Service Award, so you know they'll take care of you right. Schedule your free estimate today at allweatherdecks.net or give them a call, 913-206-1974.
We'll get to the random question of the day in about 12 minutes or so. Thanks for hanging out with us on a Thursday, busy day in Major League Baseball. The trade deadline at 5 o'clock this evening. A couple trades today. Obviously, a big one last night with Eugenio Suarez going back to the Seattle Mariners. They go all in towards their wild card push, competing also in the AL West. To talk more about what could happen later this afternoon and what should happen later this afternoon, Josh Vernier, our Royals insider, joins us. The club is off today from playing baseball, but obviously a very busy day for them in the front office. What do you think actually happens before we get to 5 o'clock?
Yeah, I'll be interested to see. We've spent the past 2 months talking about the need for a bat. Here we are at the deadline, and I think a starting pitcher is of the utmost importance. Really, what I think the takeaway is going to be prior to the deadline is, how much do they believe in this 2025 team? Because, you know, Adam Frazier, Randall Grichuk, giving up Cam Devaney, giving up Andrew Hoffman. Now, that shows that you're not willing to give up on this team, but you're not sacrificing anything that you truly prize for this 2025 team. The Seth Lugo extension is, again, a reflection of an organization and an owner that is refusing to quit on this team, but it's not necessarily an investment into this 2025 team. Now, there is nothing to complain about when it comes to the Seth Lugo contract, but John Sherman was in a position, especially once Chris Bubich went down, where you either trade Lugo and tell your fans and that clubhouse it's over, or you extend Lugo. And in order to extend Lugo, you also needed him to leave some money on the table. So personally, I didn't think those two things would happen. I didn't think the Royals would make a fair offer. I didn't think Lugo would leave money on the table. Thankfully, both of those things have happened. But we're yet to see something hurt, at least in my opinion, something that hurts the organization in 2026 or 2027 or 2028 for the benefit of this 2025 team. So over the course of the next 4.5 hours, we'll see how much do they really believe in this team, because I know myself, if I'm pulling the trigger in the front office, if I'm John Sherman, I have a tough time believing in this team. They've looked better since the All-Star break, but so have the White Sox and the Orioles. How much am I going to allow 12 games to offset what I saw over the first 106? I can understand if you want to, but I'm going to have a tough time doing it. The fan in me, sure, go for it. You know, spend money. Go out and part with a prospect. Deliver the postseason for a second straight season, but I'll be surprised if that happens. I'll be excited if that happens, because you know, it's momentum going into the final third of the season. But you know, personally, I've been resigned to the fact that it's just not in the cards for the boys this season. But I don't know everything about baseball. I'm willing to watch and have my opinion changed.
Vern, when you look at the reliever market, that's where I feel like I'm kind of torn, because I thought when they signed Seth Lugo, they at least signaled an interest in trying to win this year, or not worsening the team in any way via a trade and just allowing this team to play it out. And then if they got to improve in 2026, which they will attack it then, but at least give this team a chance without fundamentally changing anything. The reliever market's nuts. I'm like, if I'm JJ and I'm seeing the price tags people are getting, the temptation to trade a reliever would be incredibly strong right now.
Sure. But who are we talking about? The best reliever to trade on this team would likely be Lucas Urseg. I'd be surprised if they did that. You know, after him, Carlos Estevez, but I think Estevez, last season in Philadelphia probably scared off some teams if they're looking at him to be, Philly brings in Duran from the Minnesota Twins, and if you talk to Twins fans, he's not the guy they wanted him to be. He's not the guy they expected him to be, but Philly sees something in him that they believe he could be, their final boss in the bullpen. Is there a team that looks at Carlos Estevez? I mean, shoot, the Padres, right, with Suarez, a guy that led Major League Baseball, might still lead Major League Baseball in saves, and they just go out and get someone that's better than him. I mean, honestly, Suarez might be the fourth best reliever in that bullpen right now. You look at this Royals relief corps. Hunter Harvey's an expiring contract. That could be of interest. We've talked in the past about Zerpa, Schreiber, Daniel Lynch, all of them getting sizable pay increases next season. Certainly, if you can get a solid offer for a reliever, you can pull the trigger, and I don't think it's at all similar to Seth Lugo. And I know we all understand the difference Sure. between starting pitching and relief pitching, but to me, if they didn't extend Seth Lugo, they would have been forced to trade him, and you would have two starting pitchers. So, the Seth Lugo extension reflects we're not quitting. We're not going to make you watch 53 games of miserable baseball, because that's what it would have been without Reagans, Bubich, and Seth Lugo. But trading one of these relievers, you do have Daniel Lynch and Evan Sisk down in AAA, and they could come up and maybe not perform as well as whoever you part with, but I don't think it would have the seismic impact that parting with Lugo certainly would have.
Do you think there's a, I don't know if it exists necessarily, but we've talked about finding that veteran pitcher today. Is there a Michael Lorenzen type of trade from a year ago that you can go and make? That seems like the type of trade you would love to make if you're the Royals today.
Yeah, that seems, because, and you remember what you gave up for Michael Lorenzen.
It's Pennington, Walter right?
Pennington. Yeah, if you can find another guy that has that ability to be a reliever come October, but a starter until hopefully you get to October, that to me is Randall Grichuk, Adam Frazier. It's that type to me. That's how much I believe in this team. Again, that's what excites me about this trade deadline. To me, I'm right there with you, Gold. I'll bring in a guy that isn't going to CDOT won't make a big deal about it, because most average baseball fans have probably never heard of the guy that they bring in prior to the deadline. Most baseball fans maybe didn't know much about Adam Frazier prior to last season. Randall Grichuk is a name maybe that's familiar, but it's not someone you could rattle off any of their statistics. That's the kind of move that I would make if I'm J.J. Piccolo. But again, John Sherman has shown that this is a different organization. For as much as we've talked when he took over that, all right, they're going to start emulating the Guardians and the Rays, they're going to start constantly churning their talent, and you're not going to see those big long-term deals. They're going to let Frankie Lindor go. They're going to try and trade Stephen Kwan today at the deadline. That is mind-boggling to me. They have two more years of Stephen Kwan. That's not how John Sherman's doing business, right? He's allowing the city to fall in love with players. He's making fair offers and signing guys to fair deals. They don't do that in Tampa. They don't do that in Cleveland. It's, to me, a reason to celebrate, because you do have a competitor, it appears, in the owner's box. So maybe he disagrees with how we're talking and what we think this team is likely to do prior to the deadline. John Sherman, who I'm expected to have a conversation with tomorrow at Kauffman Stadium, hopefully have that in time for you tomorrow afternoon. But we'll see just how much he believes in this team prior to 5 o'clock.
Vern, I guess part of it, and I'm not definitely disagreeing with you guys, unless you could get the outfit. Stephen Kwan, it's they can have Blake Mitchell today. What do you want for Stephen Kwan? Are you sure you guys won't do an in-division trade? Because that feels like the kind of player they've been searching for years.
I didn't even think about him coming here. Yes, please, God almighty, I would love Stephen Kwan. Put him at the top. Do whatever you want with Jonathan India. It's the same thing we talked about with Jaron Duran. You could bring me that left-handed electric factory at the top of the lineup with a gold glove in left field all day. Yeah, man, that would That'd be a game changer, not only for this season, that's also an investment for 26 and 27.
No question. Yeah, the latest reporting out there looks like the Astros are looking into Stephen Kwan as well. They've had some outfield problems, so he's getting moved today. I think we all agree. That's just crazy. If I would have told you that
to
a month
Dodgers,
ago.
I'm going to puke.
Oh, gosh.
He's such a perfect Dodger, though, and I hate him.
Oh, you know he
if
is.
If they have Kwan with Betts, Freeman, and Otani, are you kidding? Oh, my goodness.
Otani left the game yesterday, right?
He's fine, though. They said it's not an arm-related thing for Otani. It's lower body, so it's not. He didn't blow out his arm.
Let me ask you guys this. When you look around the American League wildcard race and you see teams and organizations that I think we all respect, like Cleveland and Tampa,
mm-hmm.
again, I just acknowledge that the Royals are doing things differently. I think they are prioritizing their fans maybe more so than they do in Cleveland and Tampa. Does it make you nervous when they're willing to say, hey, yeah, we're right in it. We're three and a half games back. But we're going to start parting with pieces and planning for 2026. Does it make you nervous that the Royals are handling this wrong for a mid-market team?
I think normally I would agree with you, Vern. I think the Royals have so much young cost control talent that they're in a different position than those teams, is what I'd say. Like Bobby, Michael, Vinny, like they're not even paying some of these guys. Bobby, they are, obviously. But
a lot of that arbitration starts next season for the Michaels, the Vinnies, and Ursegs, and so on.
Sure, but it's still 4 years of control. Like, I feel like their window's too long. If they were 2 years past this, I would be telling. Like, you're 500 like everyone else. You should be doing what everyone else is doing. And then reset this thing, hopefully, around a couple of other guys. But because they still got half of these guys for, like, 3-4 years, I don't feel that need.
Yeah. Those teams, the Tampa, the Cleveland, are analogous to the Royals in 2027. I can get with that.
We had JJ Piccolo on the show earlier this week, and it seems like they're more open to moving on from prospects, not necessarily at the deadline today, but in the offseason. Is that the most realistic path, though, this offseason to figuring out this outfield for the future? I mean, the free agent class, we looked it up earlier in the week, isn't great. Is even if you're like, well, John Sherman just needs to go spend money, if that's your take.
Who?
On who, yeah.
Well, yeah, I haven't looked at the upcoming free agent class. It's always difficult, especially with the opt-outs and the, you know, just how much that could change. So, yeah, first and foremost, again, if we're going to view this organization as unlike Cleveland and Tampa, and John Sherman wants to put his own stamp on it. First and foremost, the idea is go spend money. Go buy that bat for the middle of the lineup. But as far as a trade, sure. If you want to part with Blake Mitchell, Carter Jensen, one of those A-ball pitchers that you like, even a Chris Bubich this offseason. Now, that might be difficult coming off of the injury, but it's still a guy going into the final year of team control. You're going to have Carlos Estevez, another option you could move this year at the deadline, next year at the next offseason. Bottom line, they need to add a bat, and of course that'll come up. I plan on bringing that up when I talk with the owner and CEO tomorrow. But, I don't like carrying his water for him, so no, go buy one. Go find one. Go acquire one. Go pay one. Made fair deals, made good deals, and the guy that you give the money to in J.J. Piccolo, I think he's earned your trust. After striking out on bringing in that bat last season, he still, instead of bringing the money back to you and sitting on it, you know, they still go out and bring in an all-star closer in Carlos Estevez. So it's not as if you're giving this money to a guy and he's coming back with Andrew Benintendi and Mike Minor and Carlos Santana. He's come back with winners, right? And the guys that have come back and haven't been winners, right, year two of Hunter Renfro, the owners paid that guy to go away. So, my request is go be a competitor in free agency and go find that number five hitter for this team.
Vernon, any confidence that the offense will continue to hit the way it has the last, like, 25 games or so? Or just kind of a little, like, hot stretch, you know? They're averaging 4.8 runs per game. I know yesterday was not a great example of that. Since around the All-Star break, do you think the offense will continue at this pace?
The numbers say no, but they're certainly capable of it, because just as strange as it was to watch Vinny struggle in April, Salvi to struggle for the first 2 months, Bobby to struggle, you hate to say that he's struggling, but Bobby not being that MVP candidate, there's no reason why Bobby can't be the best player in baseball or just the best hitter in baseball for the next month. Vinny's been a stud since May. I don't see why that won't continue. If they continue to give Salvi some rest, I could see him staying strong. Mike Cal's dead set on finishing this season batting 300. So that's a nice core. You're still just lacking power. Again, I hate to be negative because they have been playing well since the All-Star break, and I thought that game on Saturday was their best offensive performance Saturday. Today's Thursday. The game on Tuesday was the best offensive performance of the season that we've seen from this ball club. But if I'm betting on it, no, I don't think it continues. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm just going off of what I've seen.
Josh Fernier, Royals insider. Enjoy the rest of the day off. Busy trade deadline, I know, and then we'll be listening tomorrow night.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
There you go. Josh Fernier, our Royals insider here on 96.5 The Fan. Trade deadline, 5 o'clock this evening, and then the Royals head off to Toronto. Some baseball in Canada before they continue a road trip from there, and then they come back home against the Nationals, what, in about a week or so?
Mariners play today? Can the Royals catch a half game by not doing anything?
I don't know, actually. I'm not sure. Not sure about that.
Just curious.
It is. We'll talk about this over
they
the
do
next
play today.
Over the next
40
over the next month. But I mean, now if we really believe with what the Twins and Guardians are doing at the deadline, which is selling, you have three wild card spots in five teams. If we're being real,
yeah,
you're talking about Kansas Yankees. City, Boston, Yankees, Seattle,
and
the Rangers. Yeah, that's the fifth one. Five teams for three spots in the Royals. Those are the teams that you're watching now. I think that the Twins and Guardians are bowing out now. In the same text we got not too long ago, but someone's saying the same text. They're not selling Taylor Ward anymore again for the millionth off for the millionth time. Oh, teams
Taylor
are
was not available.
But the texter said, you know, the Tigers last year sold and they made their run. So unless you think even in Cleveland or Minnesota that you're doing the same thing, those teams are done. And the Royals should only be worrying at that point in time about the five teams, the four other teams that we mentioned.
They also didn't sell the way the Guardians and the Twins sold today. The Tigers did sell last year, but not like this.
Yeah, Kwan sure seems like he's heading to either San Diego or Houston or something like that before the day's over. And the Padres sure seem like they're either getting Kwan or Duran before the day's over.
Right now, inside of 5.5 games of a wild card spot, the top wild card spot, or either in one, are the Yankees, Red Sox, Mariners, Rangers, Guardians, Royals, and Rays. But again, Guardians have sold, and have sold pretty significantly. If they move Kwan, come on. No way, right? So, yeah, Rangers, Seattle, and Boston. Rangers and Seattle currently have the same record, so you're technically chasing, obviously, both of them, but, like, you know, the Mariners have held the wild card spot here in general. But, yeah, I'm going to be paying, like, this is the time, depending on what the Royals continue to do, is we're getting dangerously close to scoreboard watch territory. Like where I am, like, hey, what are they doing? By the way, the Rangers and the Mariners play each other.
Yeah.
So, like, someone's losing.
It's got to be end of August before I'll play that game. But that every night, like, watching magic number stuff. That's end of August at the earliest.
Although I will say,
but
those two teams
the next
not-
2 weeks, I think, as you and I have said, are going to give you a very clear picture, though, if you're not whether you're making the playoffs, but whether you're not making the playoffs. Right?
I just like that two of the teams that were tied for the final wild card spot play each other.
Sure.
Someone's losing. That also means someone's winning, unfortunately, for your own sake.
That is how that tends to go.
Wait a second. They can't both lose?
How that tends to go. All right, let's get to it, JT.
Random question.
The random question today brought to you by Kansas City Urology Care at KCUC. Remember, you see the best in KC. Visit kcurology.com today. For you, Gold, for you, JT, text line 913-586-7965 or YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. We do live stream this show 4 hours every day. Like and subscribe on YouTube or on Twitch. If you want that to pop at the top of your feed so you don't miss it, you will find us over there. The question I have for you today, I actually had a different question written, but then I wanted to know your minimum and maximum after watching a social media video from the Kansas City Royals today, because I'll give you a couple of comments on some of the answers they gave. What is, in your opinion, you go into a guest house, you pop over to JT's apartment. I don't know where JT lives, but you pop over to JT's apartment. What is the minimum, like what is the lowest you believe the AC can be set at that is an acceptable temperature? And what is the highest you believe that can be set at that is an acceptable temperature for someone to come into your home?
And this time of year? Right now?
Right now.
Right now?
Send AC,
in the summertime.
Heat.
Yeah, the
AC.
It can be as low as in cool. It can be as low as 67.
Okay. That's a pretty brisk.
Yeah, as low as 67. That's as cold as I can. And then it can't be any higher than 74. It can't be any higher than 74.
74, and then yeah. You're just like, I'm not coming to your house. Yeah. You're not interested in going to my house if I have it set at 74 is what you're saying.
I mean, yeah, for a long period of time, yeah. Or sleep, or if you're like staying.
Sleep is crazy. Like, let's just say going to someone's house.
But like right now, I mean, it's a 70. At night when I go to bed, it's a 71.
First answer on Twitch is 63 and 72.
63? That AC bill this summer is crazy.
I'll give you some of the answers for the Royals here in just a minute.
Okay.
Mine is the exact question they were asked. But.
66.
Okay.
And I have it the highest. I'm a thick boy, so probably like 70, 71, 72.
Remember, we're asking not the what are you normally not like, because you asked the question of,
I said someone's coming to your house,
right?
You might turn it down. You might keep it a little cooler.
I'm keeping it the same. You got blankets, you can put it on if you're cold. I want it. I have a fan.
You're offering blankets to guests
because you're not asking the ideal temperature. You're asking how hot and how cold, because ideal temperature is a different question. The ideal temperature set at 69 or 70 and just leave it there and we're good.
That's pretty
ideal.
Much
is 68 for me.
68.
So, yeah.
So the Royals got asked us on social media today, just like what temperature they keep their house. And both Vinny Pasquantino and Salvador Perez said currently their AC is set at 60 degrees.
Oh, that's freezing.
And I go, what is this, a meat
locker? That's freezing.
Oh, that would be
so awesome.
And I never thought about a minimum, because like everybody understands the maximum. Look, we're not all trying to sweat in your house at 73 degrees. That's crazy for a guest. Even if you keep it at 75, you got to crank it down when people are coming over. You know that that's not the temperature others wanted.
This one makes no sense from the 816. Someone says they keep it as low as 55 and then they turn it up as high as 82. No, the question is not in the wintertime versus this. It literally is right now. If you're 82, you have it up as low as 55 and as high as 82? What?
That's the you'd go to someone's house who was 82? No way.
55?
I pretend I was sick.
52. Oh,
with my 82. Grandma, no, you're going like to get a cold. Sauna.
If you go to someone's house and you stay and it's 55, you're what? You got a cold the next day. You're getting sick.
I went over to my grandma's and she had her set at 78. I go, yo, you're
I will
crazy.
Say, when we go to Vegas next month and we're at Circa, and between the blackout curtains, like on that Saturday when we're after Friday and we're not working Saturday, that Saturday blackout curtains, and I will have the AC down to like 64 when I go to bed.
I don't think I've ever been. So over on Twitch, Legend said that his grandma used liked it cold at night, would set it to 69. I don't think I've ever been in a single person's house who has had the thermostat set to 60. I don't even know what that would feel like in my house. Are you guys kind of curious now? What does 60 even feel like? If I crank that thing down to 60, what's the house temperature like? I feel like it'd be like a meat locker. And I'll say, inside the house, I run like a little bit cold. Like kind of like how I wear a hoodie in here, Gold, like in the studio. I wear a hoodie in the middle of summer sometimes in my house, and we keep it at like 70. And sometimes I'll still have like a hoodie on inside the house. So like I'm accepting of you keep your house at 66, we're good. That's about the lowest I feel like. Unless you're having 30 people in your house, you can crank it down. But like 74, that feels like the peak of like, I can't be coming to your house and just feel hot the whole time. That's unacceptable, in my opinion. Someone says at hotels, they just set it as low as it'll physically go. Like as low as it will physically go. They set it on, not their money, they're going all the way down to maximum. Do you take it to maximum?
No. But as I said, like in Vegas, I'll turn down to like, before I go to bed, if 65 or something, but that's colder than I'll ever go. We were in Springfield for our road trip, remember? And Dusty wanted to have it down to like 63. I said, absolutely not.
Someone says 77 with ceiling fans is perfect. Disagree. 77 is perfect?
Ugh, that's so toast. If I walk in my apartment today and it's at 77, like even the temp, then I'm gonna crank it down even lower, right? Like it's no chance. Not when it's as hot as it's been. I know today
you would never touch somebody else's thermostat.
I can't walk into your house and turn it down.
That would feel insulting. If you popped over to the thermostat, honestly, it feels insulting just to check. It's like digging through my top drawer. You don't need to see what my thermostat said. Just assume that I'm a kind enough person that
I would love to know what some of the people's like Evergy bill is or whatever.
I can't believe Vinny said, next time we have him on the show, I'm asking about it. 60 degrees. 60? 60 degrees?
I'll have mine at 67 in the apartment, and I'll have a fan going on as well. So I have to have a fan going as well when I sleep.
I usually have a fan on.
Okay. I'm not a big fan. I don't have the fan on.
Vinny's exact comment, he said, my glasses fog up anytime I go outside. He keeps it so cold. Yeah. He keeps it so cold that everything just fogs up. Same for me, too. Maybe it's the Latin.
Someone has a random question for us. Why is there a lamp on the floor in the corner? Talk to Dusty and Bob. We have no idea. They brought They brought at one point in time when JT had our statues or figurines yesterday.
Oh.
They brought it in a month or two ago. I think it was for Denny's bachelor party, but it was in 2 months before the bachelor party, and it's never moved. So my guess is if nobody says anything, it'll sit there for two more years.
You're talking about Dusty. Like him.
I have no idea.
Most people, by the way, in the Royals, 67, 68, 70. You
I think 68 to 70 is a very common temp.
I just don't think I want to pay I don't want to pay the electricity bill of what it looks like to keep it at 60. I think I would keep it at 67 if it were cost neutral.
So what do you keep yours at?
You know, that's a good
one. Right now, mine is at 73 when I'm gone. When I go back home, I'll turn it down to 71. I know they say not to mess with it too much, but there you go. So
it pretty much just stays the same except for at night. It is currently set at 71 degrees. I've got it on an app.
I use the AC.
Can I crank it down to 60 and see what it feels like?
What?
I said, should I crank it down to 60?
You're going to be wearing sweats tonight with a blanket on the couch.
That's
kind of nice.
Someone says they only turn their AC on at midnight to 6 a.m. because it's the cheapest electricity.
So wait, you just try to cool it down enough then? Somebody just says, if you're setting it at 77, you just don't want people to come to your house.
Mm.
This is an anti guest.
66 year round? Wow.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know we were all millionaires who listened to this show.
Up next, we'll get to a hypothetical involving Mahomes being traded. I know that's crazy, but there's one out there. And tonight we do have a little Hall of Fame game. It's the Chargers and Lions. We found out that next.